Welcome to the University of Virginia School of Law Semester Summation, a podcast highlighting law school news and events from the fall 2007 semester. I'm Molly Bishop.
And I'm George Cohen. Thank you for joining us. Dean John Jeffries announced this semester that he will step down as Dean of the Law School in July 2008 after 7 years of service. Following a sabbatical, Jeffries will return to teach full-time at Virginia. UVA President John Castine praised the dean's service, calling Jeffries a remarkably innovative and insightful dean. Jeffries is currently leading a capital campaign, planned to conclude in 2011, in which 53% of the $150 million goal has already been raised. Under Jeffries' tenure, the applicant pool has grown by more than 35% since 2001, and the median LSAT scores and grade point averages have risen significantly. Jeffries also spearheaded the Law and Business program, a curricular program that has proven popular with students and employers.
The law school's Supreme Court Litigation Clinic registered its first win when justices ruled 9-0 on behalf of the appellant in Watson v. United States in an opinion released December 10th. In the case, Louisiana defendant Michael Watson sought to buy a gun from a federal agent who wanted drugs in return. Watson was busted not only on drug trafficking charges, but also for using a firearm in furtherance of drug trafficking, which resulted in an additional 11 years tacked onto his sentence. Now Watson will be resentenced without gun charges. Clinic co-instructor Mark Stansel said the win wasn't a surprise.
We thought we had the better end of the arguments in the briefs, and I thought oral argument confirmed that. It's always sort of difficult to predict for certain, but I wasn't surprised that we won.
With the highest median GPA and LSAT scores of any entering law school class, the 361 students that make up the class of 2010 have made Virginia history. They range in age from 17 to 57, come from 40 states and 2 foreign countries, and represent 129 different undergraduate institutions.
One 2007 law school graduate is continuing a family tradition of legal excellence. Porter Wilkinson will begin a clerkship with Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts next year, following a clerkship for U.S. Court of Appeals Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Wilkinson follows in the footsteps of her father, J. Harvey Wilkinson III, a 1972 law school graduate who currently serves on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit. J. Harvey Wilkinson clerked for Supreme Court Justice Lewis F. Powell.
Next year, a record 3 Virginia law students will receive Skadden Fellowships, the most coveted public service fellowship available to young attorneys nationwide. Third-year law students Dania Davey, Michael Hollander, and Matthew Van Wormer will use the fellowship to work on public interest projects of their own design through a program founded by law firms Skadden Arps, Slate, Meager, and Flum. Virginia also announced that 3L Amy Woolard is the recipient of this year's Powell Fellowship. Both the Skadden and Powell Fellowships offer a salary and benefits for up to 2 years. Michael Hollander recently spoke about his fellowship, which he will use to work with Community Legal Services of Philadelphia and Juntos, a Latino community group in South Philadelphia.
The majority of my work in that context will be different types of workers' claims, so people who haven't been paid, unsafe work conditions, discrimination in terms of hiring or firing, people missing overtime, people not getting paid what they were promised. The community that I'm working with is going to be primarily Latino, but the project isn't exclusive in that sense. But from what I understand of the area that I'll be working in with Juntos, who more or less only works with Latinos in the area, my project will end up focusing almost exclusively on Latinos, but that's not a condition of my work.
The school's Center for the Study of Race and Law recently gave the first Oliver W. Hill Sr. Lifetime Achievement Award, which will be given yearly to a civil rights activist that embodies Hill's ideals and commitment to equality. Oliver Hill Jr. accepted the award on his father's behalf. Hill Sr. was a force in Virginia during the civil rights movement, and his work to desegregate schools in the state was incorporated into the landmark Brown v. Board of Education decision. Panelists at the event celebrated Hill's achievements and called upon students to continue his legacy of fighting for equal justice. Virginia State Senator Henry L. Marsh III, Hill's former legal partner, spoke about the activist's legacy at the event.
If we are to give meaning to Mr. Hill's life, we have to examine the environment here at the University of Virginia and what steps we can take to make Mr. Hill's dream of equality a reality for everyone. And Mr. Hill's life was a challenge for all of us, and it's going to be good that you establish an award for Mr. Hill each year. That's something that he would have been proud of, because that's going to stimulate others to achieve and strive like Mr. Hill strived.
Fourth Circuit judges M. Blaine Michael and 1968 alumna Diana Gribben Motz discussed their work on the appellate bench at the law school this September. They fielded questions from moderator Peter Rubin, founder of the American Constitution Society, about their approach to judging, their decisions, how they handle conflicts, and what they would do if they thought the Supreme Court issued a ruling that was unconstitutional.
I guess I would just want to be clear that I think we both feel that you have to follow the Supreme Court, what the Supreme Court does. And that's why I'm often telling some of my colleagues that I'm the real conservative, because I'm the person that actually is always following. I'm not trying to go beyond, which is what some of our colleagues are doing. They're trying to push the law along. All I'm doing is trying to follow what the Supreme Court has said. And I think that the classic answer to what people say to you is, if you don't like what the Supreme Court's doing, then your answer is in the ballot box. And you get a different legislature, a different executive, and you make laws that are different. And eventually they appoint different judges.
For the second consecutive year, the Virginia Law Weekly brought home the American Bar Association's Best Newspaper Award. The winner was announced in August at the ABA's annual meeting in San Francisco, where the Law Weekly trumped 10 other law schools to take the top prize. The student-run paper has been published continuously since 1948 and has garnered recognition throughout its history.
Up next, faculty news. More than 200 U.S. convicts have been found innocent through DNA testing, exposing a fundamentally flawed criminal justice system, says Virginia law professor Brandon Garrett. Garrett conducted a study of these first 200 cases, which revealed that courts not only failed to redress trial errors over years and sometimes decades, but they often found innocent appellants to be guilty, and sometimes denied relief even after DNA testing proved innocence. Garrett's study will be published in the January 2008 edition of the Columbia Law Review.
Richard Bonney received the 2007 Thomas Jefferson Award, the University of Virginia's highest honor, at the fall convocation in October. The award has been given since 1955 to a member of the university community who exemplifies in character, work, and influence the principles and ideals of Thomas Jefferson. As one of the nation's leading health law experts, Bonney is a member of the National Academy of Sciences, where he recently served as chair of the Institute of Medicine's Committee on Reducing Tobacco Use. In October, he testified before the House Subcommittee on Health on behalf of a bill that would give the FDA authority to regulate tobacco products.
Professor Michael Klarman's new book, Unfinished Business, Racial Equality in American History, traces the long and turbulent past of race relations in America. The book, published by Oxford University Press, follows up Klarman's prior work, From Jim Crow to Civil Rights, the Supreme Court, and the Struggle for Racial Equality, which in 2005 won the prestigious Bancroft Prize, one of the most coveted honors in the field of history.
In other news, the law school ended the fiscal year with $9.8 million in annual gifts, a new high for annual giving. A record 7,643 alumni, more than 50%, participated in the campaign. The law school also reported $4.5 million in unrestricted gifts and total gift revenue of $13.9 million.
During the Virginia Environmental Law Journal's Fall Symposium, environmental advocates spoke out against towering power lines they hope won't become the latest symbol of rapid development in the Virginia suburbs of Washington, D.C. Experts voiced their concerns about public utilities building their facilities on protected land, while a representative from Dominion Virginia Power assured the audience that his company created a route that does not cross historic or easement-protected land. John Echeverria, executive director of the Georgetown Environmental Law and Policy Institute, proposed a solution.
My solution is that we assign this responsibility, based on criteria yet to be developed, to the Secretary of Interior. It seems to me that based on her statutory responsibilities and background, the Secretary of Interior is the best positioned to make the delicate balancing required to figure out how to balance the interests and at the same time ensure that we have necessary transmission services, assuming they in fact are needed.
Virginia law students claimed the top three spots of a writing competition sponsored by the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys with articles on dying without a will, the right to die, and retirement securities. Shelley Harris, Jonathan Laskin, and Scott Dorfman took first, second, and third place, respectively. Their articles will be published in the Academy's annual student journal. They were also recognized at the organization's fall meeting in Memphis, Tennessee in November.
Class of 1982 graduate John P. Cooney III visited the law school October 11th to talk about his experience working as an attorney for Reed Seligman, one of the three college lacrosse players falsely accused in the now infamous Duke rape case. Cooney's client had an airtight alibi the night of the alleged rape, Cooney said, but his attempt to convince District Attorney Mike Nifong was harshly dismissed.
That's all for this edition of the Semester Summation. I'm Molly Bishop.
And I'm George Cohen. Thank you for listening. For more news and events, visit our website at www.law.virginia.edu.
Professor George Cohen is the Brokaw Professor of Corporate Law. He teaches contracts, professional responsibility, and agency and partnership. Molly Bishop is an assistant professor and teaches oral advocacy and public speaking courses at the law school. The Semester Summation is produced by the law school's communications department.